Okay. I thought it happens to be that in Parshas Vayetze, even a little bit in Vayishlach, there's a number of different relevant lessons in Yonei Bitochon. So I thought maybe we'll just highlight a few, although there's no real theme other than the fact that they're all Bitochon related. First one is where the Torah says, right by Sheni, Vayiso Yaakov Raglov Vayelech Arzo B'nei Kedem. Yaakov lifted up his feet and he went to the east, to the B'nei Kedem. So Rashi here seems to be bothered by this Vayiso Es Raglov. Like, why do I have to know that he lifted his feet? What if he just walked slowly? What if he schlepped his feet? What's Torah doesn't tell me an extra word. So he says like this. When he was informed with this psura toivo that he is promised shmira from Esau, Noso liboy es raglov venaso kal loleches. That's in Bereishis Rabbah. His heart, that was huftach bishmira, the emotion, the confidence that he had because I have this promise, made it that his feet, his heart, with such confidence, lifted up his feet, made him lighter, and became easier to walk. He got there faster. It seems that the bitochon belev can have a transformative effect on the actual physical goof. That's what it seems to say. His heart, that was so confident, lifted up his feet. It became easy to go. Now, we're always looking to ease the burden. We're always looking to work a little less strenuous, a little less difficult, a little less obstacles. And it seems that there's physical strength to be found in the bitochon in the heart. When a person has bitochon b'Hashem, he's come Hashem. It's going to happen. I know Hashem is not going to let me down. And all of a sudden, the whole process, all the ishtadlus and whatever else he has to do, and everything is all. It's much easier, it's lighter, because the heart controls the rest of the body, and the heart is telling the body, lighten up, soften up, it's going to be good. And therefore, it becomes physically transformative, and that which was heavier and harder and more difficult for him to travel, it became lighter. And that's what the Torah tells us when it says, Vayiso es raglov, rather than to say just, Vayelach, Vaholach. So I think that's a very, because that's a byproduct of bitochon. Not only does it bring us results, not only does it give us menuchas hanefesh, but it even gives us kvitzas haderech. Becomes easier to travel, becomes easier to do. The hishtablus becomes easier because of the fact that I have this havtocha. Right? That's one idea that I think is significant. But of course, we're always looking for ways to achieve the bitochon. Because, it's very nice. Oh, I have bitochon, I have this emotional confidence, I have this refusal to give up hope, this kivui, this yichul, or this higher level bitochon, whatever it may be. But how do I get it? When I understand, if I got it, I got it made. What can I do to get it? And there are a few things that that we can do to get it. One of them is right before this posuk, when Yaakov discusses Vayida Yaakov Neder Leimor, Imiel Kimi Modi Ushmorani Be'er Chazei Hashem Lichuhei Leich V'Nosan Lilechem Lechol Veged Lilbush, and this is after that he was promised. He had a promise, right? Whoever has us a share something maksevo, yeh beiselukim. The choil asher titen li aser aasrenu loch. Yaakov says that if he will have this shmira, and he was as he was promised, and it will be b'shavti b'sholem el beis ovi back to Eretz Yisrael, and he'll feel v'oyo Hashem li lelukim protecting him from Esav. And he says, this Evan that I made a matzevo with beis elukim, and everything, all the profits, all the produce, all the the wealth that I gain in my shepherding and so forth, asera asrenu loch, I'm going to give ma'isa to Hashem. And here we find a reference, I guess the earliest reference, to the Indian of giving ma'isa. And ma'isa is a very, very unique opportunity to strengthen bitochen. Why? In fact, the Nefesh HaChaim, the Chaim Ivalozhin, in the Keser Rosh, where he says that, you know, many shittos hold ma'isa is 10%. The Goyin happened to hold it was 20%. Okay, fine. That's a machloikis hapoiskim. But the Goyin said as follows. 20%, 10% is no hezek will come. That's the ma'isa. If you give 20%, then it's botuach that you'll have ashivus. But then, that's Reb Chaim Volozhiner quotes from the Goyin. I'm not going to go into that now. That's a whole big discussion. The Chofetz Chaim is done, and Avos Chesed, all those chilukim and how to do it. And if you're going to give 20, then the second 10 you could use for certain things. And that's not for us right now. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, he says it's an assurance of ashivus. The yushrash bozeh midas habitochon. It will be rooted in this, is the midas habitochon. What does that mean? Yushrash bozeh midas habitochon. So it occurred to me that the pshat is like this. A person has opportunities for bitochon. Some of those opportunities is very successful. Sometimes he doesn't see the success. And he wonders, like, what is it? Well, Shemagara Machet, maybe I didn't have enough bitochon. Maybe something was lacking over there. The famous story from Rabbi Saul Salanter, we've quoted him many times. With the lottery ticket, the guy said he needs 10,000, whatever. And he says, buy a lottery ticket and have bitochon 100% that you'll win, and you'll win it. Guy says, months went by, has bitochon every time, he doesn't win. Rabbi Yisrael says, you still have bitochon? He says, yeah, absolutely, 100%. Will you sell me the ticket for 5,000? He says, sure. So you see, you're fooling yourself. You don't really have bitochon. So that's definitely a possibility. But ma'isa has something else. Ma'isa, there's a haftocha. Aser bishvil shetisasher. Okay, the going holds his 20%, other poiskim holds his 10%. What do you do with haftochas with machlekes hapoiskim? I don't know. That's not for me to say. I don't know how that goes. But lemaisa, that idea of it's beferish aser bishlil shetisasher. I do it, excuse me, in order to get rich. That's why I'm doing it. And the pasuk says, upchanuni nabozois. You can test me. You can test me when you give maisa. You can test me that you'll see the results, because it's a promise and it's absolute. And it's not totally anything else. And there is such a promise. Now, if a person knows there's a promise, and he now relies on that promise, he is deepening his midas habitochon. Because here, he's not just learning to rely on Hashem on something, which in reality, he hopes, he thinks, he wishes, and he's working to be sure about it, but he wasn't promised. Here's a promise. And it seems to be an unconditional promise. It could be you have to do it b'shvil shetisasher. It could be if you don't really want to become rich, it's not going to work. It could be if you don't make investments, and that shows that you don't really want to get rich. Oh, so I'm giving my... You got to show you... But if you really want to get rich, and you're giving it b'shvil shetisasher, and you're on the program to be tisasher, and he says, Uprenulin obazois.
You think for there? What? The mitzvah is a better source. No?
What's that?
So you have to allow not to come up for us. Right?
Okay, but this one the Torah gave a special.
So it doesn't apply that rule?
I don't know. The special mitzvah here, aser b'shiel
shetisashim. The mitzvah is to do it for
Yeah. A person can get, it says, aser to aser, that's the loshem chazal. Aser b'shiel shetisashim. The chazal, maybe, the Torah wanted us to have one place, we're not allowed to test Hashem normally, but there's one place where we could test Hashem. And the Mefarshim seemed to explain, because on this one he guaranteed. This is no contest. On something else, you can't really test Hashem, because if you test Hashem and it doesn't happen, then that means you really didn't want to do the mitzvah, so you're undermining the mitzvah. You're only doing it if he'll do it. But here, it's not al tanai because he will do it. Sometimes it takes time.
That's not why you have to be Meiser, right?
What?
That's chus, right?
No, that's whatever it is, but that's...
No, I'm asking.
I don't know.
What does it mean? Aser Kiddush is Ezra. That's... They should adopt the dual form.
Yeah, Hashem wants you to see. Maybe that's how, the way Hashem wants you. The Yushruz is Admiris Habitor. He wants you to see. Yes. You listen to me and it'll happen.
So the whole theory of Abbas and Kabbalah...
No, I don't know the whole. The answer is I don't know. But I'm just saying, this seems to be an exception. Whether it has that other element too, I don't know. But this, it says klar, I can't help it.
No, I know it says it. I'm asking what it means. What
it means aser b'shvil
shetisashim. You should do it for that reason?
Is that part of the tzibur?
Do it, give myself in order to get rich.
I should do it to get rich?
You can test Hashem, yes.
But I don't want to test Hashem. I trust Him. I just want to do it for the mitzvah of Meiser. I don't want to test Him. I know God is God. I don't have to test Him.
Let me tell you something. My experience is...
I'm just
my experience is in the fundraising industry that people give more for ulterior motives than lishma. Lishma is always ay vey, this, that, the other thing. Abisalikovi, Abisalashirus, Abrocha, this, that's lemaisa. Okay, let's leave it. I really can't adequately answer that, I admit it, but I think that's the way that we have to look at it. But lemaisa, what happens like this? There is a double havtocha. And this, I think, is very important to keep in mind because many people say, well, I gave Meiser and I didn't get rich yet. So it seems that there's two things. There's an Igeres HaGro. The Gro, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he never got there. But when he left Eretz Yisrael, he wrote a letter to his wife about Hanhogas, how to conduct the house and the family and everything until he comes back. And... So in one place he wrote, it says, be very makpid on giving choymesh. He held you have to give choymesh. Mais or choymesh, whatever. He says, because if you don't, it's ke'ilu kofar bekola terakula. Ke'ilu kofar bekola terakula if you don't give the mais or the choymesh. Shaila is, ushtetos. Doesn't say that any place. How do I know it doesn't say any place? Because the modern sforim that bring all the footnotes don't quote any source for that. That's my bikis, you know. Normally they quote, they researched it online and this, and they came up with a source. So it doesn't seem to be a source for that. So what's the pshat? Tell us this poshet. Rebbetzin, why are you not giving Meiser? Aser b'shil shetis asher. Tell us this, the glaibs nisht. You don't believe it. Oh, if a person is kofer b'ois echod min ha-toyro, it's ke'ilu kofa b'kol ha-toyro. That's mustam the pshat. If the Rebbetzin was a kluga, which I'm sure she was, she could have asked like this, Rabbeinu, I understand I'm going to get rich. I know that. But I'll tell you the problem. Right now, I only have $100. And I have to buy fish for Shabbos. And if I give the Meiser now, I won't have fish for Shabbos. I know I'm going to get rich next week, next month, next year. That happens, but doesn't mean immediately. But right now we won't have fish, we won't have chicken, we won't have one. I say, there's two drushes. The Chofetz Chaim brings it, and the Ramban brings it on Aser B'shvil Shetis Asher. I believe the Ramban also, if I remember correctly. But the Chofetz Chaim definitely brings it in Amas Chesed. There's two drushes. Aser to Aser. Aser Sheloi Tischaser. Aser B'shvil Shetis Asher. There's two drushes. One is, give Sheloi Tischaser. You'll never miss it. Now there's another drosha that l'kshiyarchiv, the time will come when you'll even get rich. So the taina of the Rebbe said in Ishkin taina, because she's not going to miss the fish for Shabbos. So why is she not giving? Elamai, she doesn't believe it. That's what I would say the pshat is. But we can discuss that, we can argue that. But l'maisa, what I think all of this ends up with is that Here, Meiser is a promise and a tangible, if I'm correct, even a mitzvah that you're doing to test Hashem. And the reason you're allowed to test Hashem, I think the Bach explains, and the Drisha, I think the Drisha, they all explain, because there's no test. The mitzvah will not be on it tonight because he definitely will deliver. Eivazoy, I have a tremendous opportunity for Bitochem. Because here I have a situation where the deliverance is guaranteed. And I think that might be the pshat, the yushrash bazeh midas habitochem, that this really gives us the opportunity to deeply root the midas habitochem, because here is something that there's a promise and that there's a delivery. Aser b'shios tisasher, you won't be mischaser. And people know, I mean, this I hear from everybody. I never heard a person who says, I gave mice and I didn't have food to eat. I heard people say, I didn't get mice and I didn't get rich. And I just tell them, you didn't get rich yet. But the mice, that...
What does yet mean? Like for the grandchildren to do?
Ech, weiß nicht, what yet
means. People that die that gave mice, yet means what?
I don't know what yet means, but I think I do know that if a person does concurrent hishtadlus, that Chazal say, a person should invest shlish be karka, shlish be mezumen, shlish be schoira, I forget whatever it says there, you know, some taltling. So a person's doing, I really want to get rich. If a guy's sitting, you know, in Bnei Brak, I was told that in an hour for a good cause from the Yunga Light, he could raise $100,000 during lunchtime. Yeah? That's what I was told. It's true. But yeah, so the kasha that they asked me is, why aren't they all rich? They said, they don't want to get rich. They don't want to get rich. They're not giving to get rich. They're giving like you. They're giving because that's the mitzvah. They don't want to get rich. If they wanted to get rich, they wouldn't sit in Bnei Brak learning in Koilo. You know, that's not the place.
Something doesn't click there. They don't have the schuss because they're learning, but a guy who doesn't learn and go work, he should have the schuss of getting rich.
They don't want to get rich.
What does that mean? They don't want to get rich.
Listen, I know.
What does that mean?
I hate to say this. I want to get rich,
and I'm a
chinuch. My wife's grandmother, Rabbi Ari Levine's wife, was a big tzaddikus, a super tzaddikus. She was Miss Powell, that her grandchildren shouldn't be rich. Like my wife all the time.
What do you mean there are people
that realize, what do you mean? Okay, it's not true.
Do you know
what a rich person has in a soyan? Someone's banging on the door. I remember there's a guy, there's a Jew in Los Angeles. I don't want to mention his name in a public forum, but he's a tzaddik. I didn't want to go to ask him for money because it took forever. Because you make your pitch in 3 minutes, and he sits there for 15 and 20 minutes clearing, what am I going to do? What should I do? What was it? And not how much money he has. He has plenty of money. But this I could give here. What I give? How much? I couldn't take it. But because a serious baltstoker, that's the way he is. It's big daggers. Not everybody wants to be rich.
I wouldn't mind having
some money in the bank. I just shouldn't have to worry about every minute looking my balance to see if I can write a check.
But the simon of wanting to be rich is that a guy who's not sitting and learning. A guy's learning and doesn't really want to be rich.
He doesn't really want to. He's not giving b'shiyos of this asher.
Let's say I'm in learning and I'm giving k'dishas of asher because I trust Hashem.
Okay,
I have to leave learning to get that source.
Maybe you need some ishtadlus. The Gemara says if you want to be rich, you have to invest your money in.
So whatever I could do, whatever stipend I'm getting in Kolo,
maybe.
I do my Shabbos.
But I know
it's not my Shabbos. I have to leave learning from Kolo to be
okay,
able to get
maybe
to
not.
Close
but wealthy. These people, they're not interested in
it. Those that are,
maybe they have to do Shabbos also. I don't know. It could be. It seems to me, Poshet, that if Chazal say, how you have to invest your money, they should do it to get rich. That's what Chazal say. Anyway, that's the best thing. This is Shver. One thing is for sure. There is such a Havtocha. And the fact that there is such a Havtocha gives a person the ability to find Bitochon in a situation which otherwise he might have a lot of trouble because there's not even a baseline. There's not even a starting point. So that's just a thought. Okay, let's take it one. Since now we got things complicated. Let's see if we can either complicate it more or make it more simple. I'm not sure which is going to happen. Let's go over here now. Vatar vateda ben vatemer osat elokim escher posi vatikro shmo Yosef leimor Yosef Hashem li benach Yosef was born. Vayhi kasher yoldo rochel es Yosef vayomer Yaakov elovon shalcheni ve'elecho ki el mekoymi ve'ul arzi. After Yosef was born, all of a sudden Yaakov says, "Now is the time." Zot Rashi. Yeah, listen to the Rashi. Kasher yolda rochel es Yosef. Mishenoy lad sitnoy shel Esav. The sotn of Esav was now born. That's Yosef. See what it says. It says, the Pasuk in Avadia says like this, Voya beis Yaakov eish. Beis Yaakov, that's Klal Yisrael, fire. U beis Yosef lehova. And beis Yosef will be the flames that carry the fire. U beis Esav lekash. And Beis Esav will be like straw and be devoured by the fire that started with the Beis Yaakov that was carried through the Lehova of the Beis Yosef to destroy the Kash of Esav. So now listen to what he says. Eish b'loy Lehova, eino sholet merochik. Right? Fire, if there's no flames, just a little fire, it doesn't just coals, it doesn't go far. So that's Yosef is that agent. And then Rashi just continues, right? Just like this. Mishenoylad Yosef, botach Yaakov HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'rotzeh lo shuv. Mishenoylad Yosef, Yosef was born, now Yaakov is ready to leave. He had bitochon. What's going on over here? The pasuk in Ovad Yulachoyro is a nevuah that's going to happen b'achris hayomim. The milchoma between Esav and Yaakov is a milchoma between Klal Yisrael and Amalek, which goes on throughout the generations. It repeats itself time and again. They make a cheshbon every time we try to go into Eretz Yisrael. Esav, from the very first time when he tried to prevent them from burying, when they wanted to come out, that was the first time they were going into Eretz Yisrael. Esav tried to prevent Yaakov. Seems that the Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael has some koyach that can bring about the geula shleimo. And there's a fight, a battle between good and evil that goes on, reverberates. When they wanted to bury Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael, Esav came to Mosavach Pelot to interfere. When they came out of Mitzrayim going to Eretz Yisrael, Amalek came to attack. And the Nochamol in the Midbar Vayitzei says also, before they went, there was another attack of Amalek. But Achashverosh had just granted them permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh, Homan, Mizar Shel Amalek. And then, as the Klal Yisrael began returning to Eretz Yisrael, another Amalek started up with us, and that's what happened. So this is the battle. So, but this is talking about a battle thousands of years hence. So what's the pshat? Vayumishenoylad Yosef? Oh, botach Yaakov. So it's true that Yosef was the sotan of Yaakov. Of Esav. And in the long run, he's going to play a critical role of Lehova, whatever that means, to carry the flame and to actually destroy the kash of Esav. Oh, but the Maisa, right now, what's going on? So I think the pshat is very, very simple. Sometimes we have the koyach to have bitochon. Sometimes we just need a buzz, a shake-up. A stimulus, almost like an excuse. Something happens. Oh, Yosef is born. The Sotan of Esav is here. That's the help of Yatoit and Bankus. It's not going to help you. But the Sotan of Esav is here. Oh, now already I have Bitochen. We have the potential for Bitochen. And sometimes we almost, it's not quite artificial, but it's exaggerated. It's imaginary. Yes, the Sotan of Esav was born, but this Sotan is only going to play it out in a few thousand years later. But Lemaisa, oh, Yosef is here.
Now,
what? I don't know, something like a psychological stimulus. And I'll give you a good example. Yeah, I'll give you a good example. And I didn't realize this example. I told this story 100 times. I'm sure I told it here too. But I didn't hop the example until I said this week, last week. I've told the story many times about how I'm going to change the story a little bit because it's going to be public. But I thought how I was in dire need of $30,000, and I don't know like where it's going to come from. But I know that I never felt such a strong bitochen. Next day, what's going to be? My wife asked me. Never had such a strong bitochen. I need the $30,000. I have to put it into the bank today, or at least by part today and part tomorrow. And I don't know where it's going to come. I have no clue. But I never had such a strong bitochen. I finished the shiur, and I go into the office, and usually the mailman knows exactly how much I need that day. But this day he messed up, and nothing happened. So what do? I call up a friend of mine. I say, listen, you got to give me, lend me. I don't care what you do, $30,000 I must put in the bank. He says, I can lend you $10,000 for a week, but that's all I have available. So I asked him the question. I said, I don't get it. I never felt such a strong bitochen. Like, why is it not working? Bitochen works. I have no suffix about that. And then I chapped what the answer was. I said, Baruch Shem. If I'm faking myself, I'm pretending or I'm thinking that I have, but it's not real. So there's no kasha. Of course it's not helping because you're fooling yourself. Who do you think you're going to fool him? What are you doing? Elamai, I reached a new level in bitochen that I never achieved before. She's giving me a harder test. If you go on a higher level, right, in school, right, the higher should be. They don't do it that way. But should be the smarter kids, the better class should get a harder test, so some commensurate with their question. So if I really did reach a higher level, she's giving me a harder test. I walk back and forth in the hallway of the yeshiva for 7 minutes. I remember looking at my watch, singing every song of bitochen that I knew and thinking of all the things that had happened in the past, really trying to be mechazik my bitochen.
We need that list.
What?
Yeah, we need that list.
The songs. One thing you don't need is me singing them. Anyway, the kids are like this, so...
Approves.
So, oi. Okay, we got an assignment for you. Okay. Anyway, the kids are like this. So, I came back into the office, and a guy who was working there, his name was Yaakov Shachartovitz. He was a student of ours in LA, and then he was working. We had inherited some schoira, some nylon webbing. So, he was trying to sell it off so he could make a couple of bucks for the yeshiva. Comes into my office and he says, I just concluded a deal with a goy in Seattle. He's buying $30,000 worth of the schoira. He's sending us $20,000 bank check, FedEx. We'll have it tomorrow morning. And business is unheard of, such a thing. $10,000 when we send him the schoira, he'll pay. I borrowed the $10,000 from my friend. I put it in the bank. The next morning, the $20,000 came. It was a bank check. Everything was fine. Everything was covered. Everything was great. So that was the story. It's a nice story, you know. Bitochen, it really helps. You work on it, it helps. If you reach a higher level, you just got to work harder. But I never chapped. Where did that strength in bitochen come from? Where did I get that feeling that I... And I just...
You must have.
Okay, but I've had many nothing else to do situations where I didn't feel that. You know what I mean? So that's not enough of an answer. Anyway, so... I chapped. The night before, I was at a bar mitzvah in they had one place where everybody made bar mitzvahs in the valley, Sportsman's Lodge. And as I'm walking out of the bar mitzvah, a fine yid, an Israeli who used to give us some money with support, you know, like he used to give $1,000, $1,800, whatever. So he meets me at the doorway and he says, do you need money for the yeshiva? Now, can't remember, I can count on one hand how many times people ask me, do I need money? You know, like it's not the kind of question that you get in this business too often. So I don't even remember what I told him. I said, oh, I'll be in touch with you, whatever. But all of a sudden, that gave me a chizuk, because I knew I needed the $30,000 tomorrow. And I said, somebody's asking me, it wasn't going to give me $30,000, I knew that too, but somebody's asking me if I need money. Something very strange. And that sparked that sense of, I'm just sure it's going to happen. And it's here, and it's just the very thing. Yosef, Mishanoilad Yosef. Yeah? The Sotna Vesef. This was not the Sotna Vesef. But Mishanoilad Yosef, all of a sudden, now I can have Bituchon. So it sometimes it takes a very simple outside stimulus. Almost like an imaginary thing, an unrelated thing, an emotional thing, almost something that's really, to the etzem thing, it's really irrelevant, but it inspires you. That inspiration can spark an intensity of bitochen. Yaakov Avinu, who was afraid to go back because of Esav, all of a sudden, when Yosef was born, now already it's the Noilad Sotan Shal Esav, Agam, it's for years later, but no. That's enough to be mechazik my bitochen. So too here. This was enough to be mechazik the bitochen. Someone's asking me if I need money, and the rest was like filling.
Is that what led to treating Yosef the way he did? Is
what?
Did that lead to the relationship that they had?
Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't say. I don't know.
What was it about the fact that Yosef was born and therefore...
Because he knew, I guess he knew the Nevuah in Ovadia, you know, Yaakov knew Tanakh too, you know, he was a Novi, and he knew that Yosef is going to play an eventual role in the Mapola of the descendants of Esav. Esav's descendants are Amalek. So Yosef is going to, and it says even the Pesuk says Esav Lakash. So since he knew that, it gave him like a boost, like, oh, Yosef is here. Oh, the Sotna of Esav is here. His son's a baby. He was just born.
He knew it was going to happen for sure.
What?
He knew it was going to happen.
Eventually. But he didn't know.
But he knew it was going to happen. We don't know when it's for sure going
to
happen.
But he didn't know. He didn't know what's going to happen to him.
He knew that there was...
No, but he could have... Esav could have killed him, and his children will continue on to fight with the descendants of Esav.
That gave him hope for himself.
That gave hope for himself, even though that's not really rational.
Not for Christ. Okay.
I just want to add one more thing, which is in the next parasha, in Parshas Vayishlach. This is also something we've mentioned, but I think it's an important idea. When he finally sees Esav coming, so the pasuk says, "Vayiro Yaakov, vayetzer loy," that he was afraid. "Vayiro Yaakov ma'oid, vayetzer loy, vayachatz etzaom, and prepared l'dorim l'tfilo l'mohava." So everybody, Rashi is bothered by the yiro. Well, he had a haftocha. What was he afraid of, right? The Teretz is, and it seems, I guess, Bitochen goes up and down, you know. But he was afraid because, but no, this would shtim with the Ralbag. Oh, that's even better. Wait one second. So he was afraid, Shemagora Machet. Frekt, Rabbi Chonon, and others I have seen over the years. Why didn't he have Bitochen without a Haftocha? Okay, maybe the Haftocha was bottled. But Bitochen is even a filu when you don't have a Haftocha. So why didn't he have such a Bitochen? So the Marie Kroh writes something very interesting. He says like this. He says, what's a Baal Tzedakah? He says, a Baal Tzedakah is not a person who doesn't like money. A Baal Tzedakah loves his money, but he gives it away anyway. Otherwise, not a Baal Tzedakah. Money doesn't mean anything to him. He says, what's a Baal Bitochen? A Baal Bitochen is not a person who's impervious to the danger. A Baal Bitochen is acutely aware of the danger, and he rises above it to have Bitochen Hashem. So he says, Yaakov forced himself to be afraid of Esav. He must have thought, Esav, he had the schools for Kibara for 22 years, and I didn't, so that he should be afraid, so that he rises to true bitochen. When there is no fear, there's no true bitochen. The Brisker Rav has that wonderful moshul. Somebody's walking along, batuach, everything fine, and someone's standing behind him with a knife ready to stab him. So the nafkamina is like this. If he knows that the guy is there ready to stab him and he's walking calmly, that's a Baal Bitochen. If he doesn't know that the guy's ready to hurt him, he's not a Baal Bitochen. He doesn't know what's going on. He says, that's the idea. So fear sometimes, the Rabbeinu Yonah brings the Pasuk, Biyiras Hashem Mivtach Ois. In the fear of Hashem lies the strength of Bitochen. That Bitochen can grow out of a massive of fear. In fact, if there is no fear, then it may not even really be Bitochen because there's nothing to worry about, so I'm not worried. You know, a person who has money in the bank, tons of money in the bank, he's not about bitochen about money. He has it. You know, it's not real. You know, if he's losing his money,
he has
or
bitochen, he shouldn't lose it.
Right? Okay, yeah, you could. That could be, but it's not. You know, it's not the same thing. So anyway, that seems to be the idea too. That through Yira, Biyiras Hashem Mivtachoyis, says a person has the opportunity to rise to true bitochen. And that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah says at the end of Brochus, at the end of the first parak of Brochus, where the Gemara says, the reason we bow down and straighten up by, when we say the Shem Hashem in those four places, because of the Pasuk Hashem, Zekif Kefufim. Hashem straightens out the bent. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that, says when we bow down, we're like expressing fear. I'm standing in front of Hashem, maybe I'm not going to be Zekif, maybe I won't get the things I want. And then I straighten myself up, Be'iras Hashem Niftachois, he says, that is Hashem Zekif Kefufim. Oh, Hashem does so much chesed. Every bent over person in the morning, he wakes him up and lets him get out of bed. Ah, now from the yira, from the fear that I induced by going like this, I now inspire myself. That's where he brings the pasuk, Be'iras Hashem Niftachois. The strength of bitochon only comes from a situation where I'm very, very concerned. If I have no concern about the problem, then I really don't have any real, true feelings of bitochon. So that's a couple of little he'oras. I think that's maybe shayach to help us a little.
Shayach.